Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fake the Nation, episode 384.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about culture, and where we make a Thanksgiving pie cake and take it to a Thanksgiving soiree and hope that everybody loves it, and also hope that nobody asks me what's in it, because it's kind of like the ingredients are a little lowbrow, but the dish presents highbrow. Okay, that's my secret. I am your host, Nagin Farsad, and this is the one, this pumpkin pie cake is the thing I take to every like fall event. So if you know me, you've probably had it. Everyone loves it. And I hope you are having a wonderful time during your Thanksgiving. And so we have a little wonderful Thanksgiving episode for you today. We've been, you know, we've been gathering these conversations just in time to give them to you on this holiday weekend that I hope you're enjoying and getting some rest and doing some eating. And this very first conversation is with Peppermint and Pete Dominic, who joined to talk about a guy who has not told his wife of 15 years that he has a very lucrative trust fund. Check it out. And next topic, we are going to launch into some ethical dilemmas. And to join us in doing that, we have comedian and host of the daily podcast Stand Up with Pete Dominic. It is the wonderful Pete Dominic. Hey, Pete.
Yay, yay.
And we have with us the excellent Broadway performer, actor, co-host of the Town Hall podcast, a black and queer podcast. It is the wonderful Peppermint. Hey, Peppermint.
Hey.
So to jump into our first ethical dilemma, we are going to turn it over to Pete Dominic. Pete, you had an ethical dilemma you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, I shared this on my Facebook page, and I want to hear what both of you have to say about it, because it is a really interesting mix, and it's based on probably your own personal experience, but still. Okay, my daughter just went off to college. She's a first-year student in college. And so thank you. And my other daughter is a sophomore, a second-year student in high school. She has always had the smaller of the two bedrooms. She mm-hmm. wants to move into the big bedroom, which her older sister has just left for college. And people are very split on this. Does my daughter get to move in? Should they have to negotiate it? Should we keep that room so when Ava comes home, she has her traditional safe space, which many people argued in her first year? I'm going to go to you first, Peppermint, because you're the guest, then the host, Nagin.
It is a tough one. I mean, because when we grow up, and I guess for many people who grow up in the house until they're 18, if they're in one house and they've like lived there, you know, there's obviously people who move around in the military or like constantly having to get a new space. But if your family like owns the house and it's been there for years and that's your childhood home, there is a sense of like belonging, and that I think we want to be able to keep our things. And I used to think of, especially when I was in college, that that is like the permanent place where I could always send back stuff, bring my laundry on the holidays, ship stuff that I didn't want in my college apartment back home, where my mom will just watch it and it'll just like live there until it disintegrates, whatever.
Yeah.
But now that I'm a little bit older and I'm realizing that, you know, space is a hot commodity. My mom has gotten rid of my belongings in my old bedroom and it's turned into something else. I'm kind of like, you know what? I don't own that space. You know, if she like gifts me the house, or if I end up taking the house over from her, then I can do what I want with it, I guess. But like, you know, no, we don't get to keep it. Yes, some of the belongings, of course, like my mom like got rid of belongings. So like your belongings, you should be able to keep those, or at least talk about it. But you don't get the space.
Real quick though. Humans and space. I get irked that so few have so much. I get irked that there's someone with a tiny space or no space living in the street, and there's tons of vacant apartments. In my case, in my house, we have a tiny room and a big room. The big room is almost entirely empty. It's weird that you'd have a human that would have to stay in the smaller room, Nagin.
Okay, but Pete, what does your wife think?
She wants to keep it for my older sister, or for my older daughter, and my older daughter wants to keep
it. Sentimental.
We're split. Yeah. We're split.
Interesting. So, okay, this is, so I'll say something that's kind of like, I mean, there are great arguments on both sides, as Donald Trump once said. But like,
no, you're already failing if both you're rooms. Invoking him for that. Okay.
A lot of good people in both bedrooms.
No, but I think, so I always felt bad for my brother, because my parents moved away from the city where he went to high school. And my brother was an immigrant when he was 8 from Iran. So he like didn't have the same stable like location as I got to experience as a kid. And then going into, you know, elementary, middle, and high school, I lived in the same place. And, you know, and then for me, that room was everything. Like I came home from college.
I see where you're going.
Like my room. Like I loved going home and like staying in my room and like friends still coming over and like hanging out of my room, you know? And my brother never had that. And I always felt like bad for him, because I do feel like there is some sentimental, but a thing that's also about emotional stability, you know, and it's okay for you to kind of derive that kind of emotional stability from a room. But one of my BFFs in high school, shout out Jenny, she, like her older sister, who was like similar age difference, about 5 years age difference with her big sister, got to take over the big room when the big sister graduated. And it made sense, because it was only fair. Like when you're dealing with multiple siblings, I just feel like it's a different story. Like you have to, you know, you have to understand you're going to get hand-me-downs. You're going to like, you know, like let the, and I also think being a younger sibling is probably hard sometimes. And like giving the younger sibling like a leg up in one situation, which is that they get the bigger room when the other one graduates, like also totally makes sense. And you can like recreate the smaller room to a point where the elder sibling feels like, you know, don't destroy any of their stuff, but like try and recreate it.
Well, we're just
going to
move it out when she doesn't know.
Some sort of through line. That's what I would do.
Well, great answers, both of you. I think maybe we'll just do it unbeknownst to her. And when she comes home, I'll just paint her name on the small room. Like, oh, it's yours now. Just look at Ava.
We couldn't figure it out, so we had to move you into the basement.
Yeah. Sorry. Or just gaslight her and be like, what are you talking about? This was always your room. I don't know what you mean. I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, so let's go into our next and final ethical dilemma. We read a letter to the ethicist in the New York Times, and it went a little something like this. I edited here for brevity. I'm a 44-year-old man and have been married to my spouse for 10 years. We've been together for 15. Unbeknownst to my spouse, I have a trust fund that provides me with a monthly income of $25,000. Over the years, I've repeatedly assured my spouse that they don't need to work, as my income is secure and stable. They are, however, passionate about their career and have chosen to continue working. My dilemma is whether I should reveal the truth about my trust fund to my spouse. My family members have always advised against disclosing our financial situation, but the weight of this secret is becoming difficult to bear. Peppermint, what did you think of this ethical dilemma?
I was just fascinated by the notion of like these pretend job, which is what they talk about in the thing. I'm like, what the hell is that? And so I want to know,
he pretended to have a job all these years to explain his income.
Yeah. And I'm I'm just flabbergasted that the spouse, his wife, didn't even catch on to that. After years after years, like I
yes.
know that what you're buying, it does not match in that paycheck. You know what I mean? Or that job description. Like, I know that. I know what you should be able to afford. And so I picked up my jaw and like woke up from that blackout, I thought to myself, you know what? It is his money. It's his business. But I don't know. Like, it depends on the state that you live in. Eventually, if he like, God forbid, if she outlived him and he died, would she have access? That's a question. Would she have access to that money from the trust fund because of the marriage
that.
Laws? That's really what it comes down to for me. If this is something that she'd eventually be entitled to, then I think she should know. But she doesn't have to know today. I guess the lawyer will tell her after he dies. I don't know.
But wait, wouldn't you? Okay, can I just say about, first of all, you the wife, the you're talking about the wife not having questions about how you can spend that kind of money or like where that money's coming from. My question is, did you never introduce your wife to a coworker? Do you not have stories about your like house,
no
your work wife? Like, do you
it's
not have
man
stories
in the high
about your
for me?
I mean, like, I have so many questions. I mean, if my husband gives me just minutia details, like crazy levels of like information about every job that he does, I end up knowing about all of the, you know, coworkers, cast members, like their families, like different DPs, different this. I'm like, I mean, it's like, if I didn't hear all those details, I would be very suspicious. Pete, what did you think?
Well, of course, it's a man that would do that, I feel. And mm-hmm. I think that part of that is because, and this is the only thing I could read into it, because I can relate a tiny bit to the idea of needing to feel like I'm providing something and that makes me attractive. Like, not only do I have income coming in, but I also built an outdoor shower. Like, I'm doing stuff that makes me look attractive, meaning like valuable to you. I'm an asset because I'm providing things. I think it's a very kind of patriarchal, kind of capitalist, kind of gender thing to feel that you need to be that person. And then, to be honest, I think a lot of women, now I'm being a little bit more sexist, but like expect that of you. But regardless of the gender stuff, it's just straight dishonesty. Like, what else?
It's lies.
Her immediate react, we all know everybody knows exactly what's going to happen. She's going to immediately say, what else do I not know?
Yes, are you totally. You know, like, 100. Because, okay, Peppermint, you didn't even address this, but like, it's so funny how your mind went to entitlement after death, but like, I don't know what that says about you, but like, if you had a spouse that kept this secret from you and told you 15 years later, how would you take it?
I would ask the question, where have we been living a lie? Yes, yeah. For sure. And it's a different perspective. I guess from the practicality of like living with someone and being in a relationship with them and having trust and transparency and honesty, this breaks all those, you know, this breaks all those tenets. I
will say, now I feel guilty because I tell my wife I'm going for a run. I go for a drive and then I run back into the driveway all wet with water. So I kind of do that.
Sprinkle water on your...
But Pete, I actually love that explanation about the masculinity that sort of like drives this kind of thing, because it's so funny, like, in the last few months, my husband can't stop watching these like people building tiny homes videos on YouTube.
Guilty.
Do you watch those? Okay. So you and my
husband
should chat. And literally last night he showed me one. It was like a little office next to, first of all, we live in Manhattan. I don't know where this home would be built, but okay. So he shows me this little like office that's off of a tiny home. So it's even tinier. And he was like, what if I built you one of these? And I was like, it's funny because like, I was like, I mean, great, you know, sweetheart, like whatever you want to do. But I think that is the thing that I was sensing in him was this need, you know, he's like turn 40 and all now he wants to like be a man or whatever, but like this need to like build me something, you know, to like provide in a manly labor way, you know? And I think it's really cute and like, whatever, I'll indulge it. I don't mind. Again, like we live in Manhattan. I don't know where any of this is going to be built. He could build a shoebox, I suppose, like a literal shoebox.
Well, I work, you should do it. I'm in a shed right now. I work from a shed. I love it. It's a game changer. Find a little space, build a shed and let him feel the value that he may want to, so that he doesn't lie to you about his income.
did you build that shed?
I did.
Oh my God, that's really impressive, actually, because it looks like, you know, real walls and stuff.
So you've never been more attracted to me than you are right now.
You should lead with this with every show that you do, is that you built the space.
You haven't seen my act in a long time.
Way differently.
You haven't seen my act in a long time. I wear a tool belt now.
Yeah, it depends on what you're pretending to do.
Right. Yeah. I know, but if you told us that you pretended to go to a job for 15 years, that'd be really fucking different. Folks, let me know. What do you think? Where do you stand on this ethical dilemma? Obviously, tell her. Obviously, have a counsel, have a therapist present. I believe that was the reaction of the ethicist was to go to therapy because there's something wrong with this relationship. Folks, that is the end of the show. I want to thank you both so much for being here. This was so much fun. And I want the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow you and all the wonderful things that you do. Peppermint, where do they do that?
They can hit me at Peppermint247 on all socials.
Peppermint247 on all socials. And then remind them the name of your podcast.
It's called Town Hall, a Black Queer Podcast, which I co-host with Bob the Drag Queen. And of course, it's available everywhere that they get their podcasts.
Oh my God. Subscribe. And Pete Dominic, where do they find you?
My podcast, by the way, is almost the exact same premise as Peppermint's. I host a daily podcast called Stand Up with Pete Dominic. I put it out almost every day, even including on weekends. I talk to the smartest people I can find about whatever they know a lot more about than I do.
It's a wonderful podcast. I've had the honor of being on it, and it is just such a great listen. So definitely subscribe to Stand Up with Pete Dominic. And let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll go to our last topic. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money. And because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry. Thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you. So you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8 exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing losing that money? I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. And we are back. And in this next topic, John Hodgman and Akilah Hughes joined to talk about a lady who had an affair with a dude for 15 years. The guy died unexpectedly, and now his ex doesn't want her at the funeral. What should all the parties be doing here? It's a conundrum. Check it out. All right. We are going to look at an ethical dilemma. We are joined by the host of the podcast, Judge John Hodgman, and he's got this wonderful Substack called Hodgman.substack.com.
Pretty typical.
What if I just said, and his name is William Knightley? No, it is the wonderful John Hodgman. Hey, John.
Hello.
And we have with us also the wonderful writer, the wonderful podcaster, the just incredible delight of a human being, Akilah Hughes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, John. Hi, Nikki.
Would give you a standing ovation, but this microphone's in my way. And this,
too much
this couch is very yeah. nappy.
Yeah, it would be too much. I didn't stand for you, and I have all the space. I could have backed up my chair.
I would not stand for you standing for me because I don't deserve it. You do.
Well, let's actually get into an ethical question. You both just dealt with one. There's another one that came to Amy Dickinson. Shout out Amy Dickinson.
Hi,
in
Amy.
The Washington Post. I love Amy. She's also a fellow weight waiter, as is John Hodgman. I forget sometimes.
Not lately.
Shots fired at NPR. Okay.
Interesting.
But so this person wrote into
hack
Amy.
The Hodge.
Have back the Hodge. So we read this piece, and in this piece, a woman had an affair with a married man for 15 years. Mm. He then left his wife to be with her, and then 4 years later, he suddenly died. And then she writes, his siblings are handling the funeral and arrangements. They've been very kind toward me in my time of loss. However, the ex-wife is not very fond of me and will be attending the services with her and Marshall's 4 grown children. She has expressed that it's inappropriate to invite me or include me in any way because I'm a homewrecker and destroyed their marriage. I understand her bitterness and anger toward me. However, I'm also mourning the loss of someone I deeply cared about. I don't want to cause a strain on Marshall's family or children, so I'm asking for your advice. Should I be respectful to his ex-wife's wishes and not attend this service, or am I justified in attending as well? Folks, it's a toughie, I think.
I mean, they don't want you to be there. That doesn't mean that you can't be there. I also, I'm from the South, so I feel like drama and families have it at weddings and funerals. So like, something's going to go off. Someone's going to try to get in the casket. Like, just show up. Like, what's the difference?
I don't think funeral services are invitation-only affairs. Like, you
definitely
show up
not.
Or you don't.
Totally. And like, I have some experience with this. So like, my mother was sort of the other woman for my father. Turns out there were several other women. And like, I'm actually amazed that this person still wants to go, because like, our feeling was like, we don't really care to go. But my brother did go and suss it out. And the like, the original wife's kids did not care. They it didn't become a big thing for them that my brother was there. And also my brother made the point that like, seemed like some random people that he had never met showed up. Like one person straight off of Taco Bell shift came in that outfit. So I just feel like it, like to John's point, like funerals are just kind of like, come as you are, come when you feel like it. Like if you knew this person, great. If you just stumbled into the wrong room and now you're at a funeral, fine. Like, I just think it's not, the person's dead. So like, really, what are they gonna do about it? Like they're gonna ruin the funeral and keep you out. I say go and don't even worry about it.
Yeah, it's not like the affair partner turned partner is gonna give a speech or something, I hope.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other set of
But let me understand this. This guy, Marshall.
Marshall, we're calling him Marshall.
The only human who was named in this whole story is the person who carried on a 15-year secret affair.
Yeah.
With the woman who's writing in.
Yeah.
And then finally divorced, I suppose. And then they were together 4 years before he kicked it.
Yeah. So for 15 years, it was a secret. And then 4 years, it was open. And I just want to say, this guy was a fucking nightmare for 15 years. This fuck bag of a lying monster was a piece of shit for 15 years.
I would say the affair partner, like, as far as I'm concerned, the affair partner is the only person who should be going to this jerk's.
I want to say to the original wife, the OW, I want to say, your husband was a fucking nightmare. He's the enemy. She's potentially your ally. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Watch Succession, you know? Like,
no spoilers, but there's a fantastic scene.
Seen it yet? No, spoiler as fuck. If you haven't seen it yet, that's a choice. We've been on strike and there's no new shows. Like, you had all summer to get caught up.
But there's a phenomenal scene. Describe that scene, Akilah. It's fantastic. And then plug your ears if you don't want to hear this.
Right. Yeah. If you don't hear this, it's la 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 time. It's like skip ahead 15 seconds of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, Logan Roy kicks it and his wife and then all of his mistresses sit together on Widow's.
On Widow's Pew.
On Widow's Lane. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They got to sit together.
And they hold hands. I mean, it's kind of lovely. And the most recent, the other mistresses are sort of like over it. They're not like that emotional. Yeah. They're like, yeah, he's dead, whatever. But the most current mistress is like a total wreck. And they're like, oh, it's so cute that she's moved.
Yeah. Like, she didn't have to live with him long enough.
She shows up with her lawyer. That's right. She didn't have to live with him as long.
Death is when the truth can be told about someone. And I would say, look, Marshall was human garbage.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the woman writing this letter. She conducted an affair. She is a homewrecker.
She's also not great. Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of the
wife. She wasn't married to him. Yeah, I don't think it's her fault.
Like,
I'm sure there's nuance throughout this story, but I'm saying if I'm like the wife, the official wife, the OW.
Yeah.
O-Dub trying to pretend that this was a perfect marriage by keeping the affair partner out is also fooling themselves. The adult children, it's just like, just let it be, as Akilah said, just let it be as messy as it is, as it was. There's no reason to continue this. The reputation is what it is. And if she needs to go, she needs to go.
In my 20s, when I was just an exceptionally delightful slut bag, I dated a lot of dudes.
I know you've already written a book, but that's, you've got to do a follow-up. An exceptionally delightful slut
bag. I would like that to be writ on my tombstone. You're all invited to the funeral.
Yeah, no matter.
Right. Thank you so much.
But I dated a lot of guys, and I was not exclusive with a lot of these. I mean, I was not exclusive with these people, whatever. So I wasn't like cheating, but I dated a lot of people like sort of simultaneously. And then I would do this fun thing where I would invite them all to the same party. I'm not saying this was my morally best time, but like I was titillated by the idea that they would like chat or like have some kind of conversation with each other. And it was always, nothing crazy ever happened. It was all completely fine. But I did do this on a few, on let's say 2 to 3 occasions.
That is my absolute nightmare.
Say,
wow.
Nothing gives me hives quicker than thinking that my like exes or people that I've touched will ever meet.
But isn't it like, aren't you curious, like, what kind of conversation would they have? Like, no. I was so fascinated by this question. But I mean, everything was fine because I wasn't exclusive with anybody. It was fine.
I don't think they specifically knew.
No, I wasn't like going around being like, let me give you this.
So you live your life like a reality show, so you don't have to watch them. creating reality scenarios.
How thoroughly I wasted my 20s. Just going to literary readings. And
oh, God, Hodgman, what?
Getting drunk and seeing Hellboy. Like, why didn't I do anything interesting and maliciously shit-stirring like that? Yeah. No drama whatsoever. But I mean, part of it.
So my point to this woman is, if you're the OW, original wife, I would be like, yes, bring the I just want to see what happens to the entire audience if the mistress is here. It's just fun. It's just interesting.
And also, if they're divorced, she doesn't run the show. She's probably not the executor of his estate.
No, probably not. But I do want to say however many grown children that seem to probably run the show. I would say their feelings are the ones that matter the most here, are the children.
I don't know. I mean, I think the reality is, like, for most of their life, they didn't know the truth about their dad. So, like, the idea that, like, now they're going to be able to, like, create an environment where he is celebrated in a way that was not reflective of his life is just like, I don't know. I don't buy it. I feel like, I just think that people have free will. He had free will. He chose that other woman over the family. So if she wants to come, like, I mean, or like, okay, then let daddy's remains go to another location for a separate funeral. And also, if she's not the only mistress? Listen, these people don't typically just cheat once. Let them all come. And do the Mari of it all. Like, we're bringing out Susan. Come meet the kids. Like, I think you do the whole show there and get it out of the way. You don't ever have to do it again. He's dying once.
Let the truth out. There's nothing to protect anymore. And what a great opportunity to wear a really dramatic black dress and like a hat and stand mysteriously by a tree.
This is like you get your new haircut, you get your facial, you show up to the funeral being extra hot. And then that's what funerals are for. They're to spite others.
Mm-hmm. They're a social event. And I think that, you know, social events need stories after. If the story is just, well, dad died and we were all here, that's not good enough. Let's just like really hash it out.
I don't think she should go unless her plan is to seduce one or more of those grown children by the end of the
Oh, my God. I would love it.
At least one of his siblings. His siblings, Marshall's siblings. I hate the fact that he's the only human who has a name in this
story. Well, I mean, it's quote Marshall. Like, she gave him a fake name.
Still.
I mean, but it's not passing the Bechdel test.
Everyone else is wife and affair partner. Yeah, but Marshall's siblings.
Nameless lady talking specifically about dead husbands. Yeah.
Marshall's siblings are supporting affair partner, AP. Incoming. So one of them definitely wants to get it, obviously.
Oh, right. So she should go for Marshall's brother or something?
I don't know who the siblings are. It's just not a lot. Everything's defined. Everything in this family is defined in association with Marshall.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to tell this family. Marshall's dead. He's dirt. There's no afterlife. Everything that you define yourself against who you are and not who this creep was.
Loving husband, loving father, cheater of 15 years.
Yeah.
We come here to remember Marshall. All right, folks. I'm so curious to know, what do you think should happen in this particular situation? It's a juicy one.
I'll tell you what's not juicy. Marshall's decayed corpse. Just bones, dust.
But I mean,
let him go.
Exactly.
Like, in Marshall's defense, I don't think anyone's corpse is particularly juicy. You know what I mean?
With I'm formaldehyde, if you go that way, you get a little juice that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do a little, butter basting or whatever every couple of hours.
You've obviously read my will.
Keep me moist for the ceremony.
Oh, everyone wants that. Yeah. Folks, let me know what you think. A, do you want to be kept moist for your funeral? That's my first question. My second question is, how many, not are your ex-mistresses coming, how many will be coming to your funeral? Please let us know at fakethenationpodcast@gmail.com. Well, folks, I would love for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow you and all the wonderful things that you do. Where do you want to send these people, John Hodgman?
Well, every week, Jesse Thorne and I record and release, not just record, but release a podcast called Judge John Hodgman.
Yes.
And we're going on tour. In fact, as you listen to this, we might be on tour. It's our Van Freaks Roadshow tour. Talked about it already on the podcast, vanfreaksroadshow.com. That's vanfreaksroadshow.com for tickets and details. And I also have a Substack now, which is hodgman.substack.com. It's called Secret Society. And it's an extrapolation of an old live show that I used to do called Secret Society. And what happens in Secret Society? Well, there is no Secret Society that I know of. Go to hodgman.substack.com and find out. But I want to know what Akilah is up to.
Akilah, where do the people of Fake the Nation find you?
I should start a Substack. You all are inspiring me. But so far, I'm hanging out on Instagram at Akilah H, A-K-I-L-A-H-H. And whatever Twitter is, I'm sure it'll be a husk by the time you guys check it out. But it was Akilah, obviously, over there. Who knows? Who knows what they're going to be doing in 5 minutes? But yeah, mostly just on Instagram. My stories are in my new tweets. So
folks,
check it out.
I am a follower and I enjoy it very much. I highly follow. Endorse.
I am also a follower and I've always enjoyed Akilah. And also just make sure you follow so that you can see whatever other amazing next project she's doing that you can then listen to or watch.
Yeah.
That is the end of the show. I want to thank everyone who makes this show a possibility. First and foremost, our wonderful producer, Andrew McGuire. Thanks to everyone at HeadGum. And thanks to Gabi Alter for writing our theme music. You can reach us at FakeTheNationPodcast@gmail.com. You can support us at patreon.com/NagineFarsad. And otherwise, I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful holiday weekend. And we will be back in your earballs next week. That was a HeadGum podcast.